This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management.
Hey, everyone. This is Zach Inevich, assistant business manager of IBW Local 98 North, with your home run tip from your hometown team. For your next construction project in the suburbs, trust your electrical needs to the highly trained, masterfully skilled electricians of IBW Local 98 North. Knock your next electrical project out of the park. Call Local 98 North today at 610-489-3800 or visit us at IBW98.org.
Now on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause.
If we don't move in our own direction, we're going to become extinct. In fact, in some cases, we're close to being extinct right now.
Presented by the law offices of Pond, Lee Hockey, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is a special edition of The Labor Show with J. Doc Krause and John Doherty.
Is the John Doherty Hour as we come to you on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. J. Doc, we continue now coming out of what was a very meaningful, very powerful hour number one on the Labor Show. We transition right in to hour number two, which is going to be incredibly powerful. This the John Doherty Hour. Mayor John Street is going to join us, J. Doc, in the opening 30 minutes of hour number two, and then we'll, on the other side, longtime Philadelphia Police Commissioner Sylvester Johnson in front of us for the next 60 minutes.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, the first hour was so emotional, and we were fortunate enough and to have individuals who were, whose lives were impacted that joined us on the broadcast. The second hour, the John Doherty Hour, is going to bring us the leaders who were at the forefront in the city of Philadelphia during that very, very difficult time. And so it's going to be very emotional, no question about it.
John, I want to come out of that. I want to come right to you, sir, and give you an opportunity to take the floor, take the mic, and, you know, put some thoughts out there, personal thoughts, and then we'll transition and bring Mayor Street into the conversation.
Yeah. September 11th, I will never forget, as most people won't, that I happen to have been on the West Coast at an IBEW five-year convention. That's where we elect the leadership, and that's where we put in play all the policies and procedures in which we live by, you know, every 5 years. So here, the evening before, myself and all the guys who were joining me from Philadelphia in the South Jersey region spent our evening with Local 3, which is the IBEW union in New York City and surrounding areas. So we were actually sitting with till somewhere close to around 2 in the morning with the leadership of the union movement, which is significant in New York City. It's perceived as the number one union town in America. And the IBEW in New York City, along with, you know, the hospital workers, are perceived as two of the strongest in the country. So here I am sitting with, okay, the hierarchy of New York City, having no idea that within about 8 hours, 35 of their immediate family members will have died in that building. So, and I actually woke most of them because it was early in the morning and I was there with Celie, and she came in and I was getting showered to get out of and into a start the conference, and she said, "You better watch this." And then I came out of the shower. I was like dumbfounded. I don't remember anything other than knocking on the doors to a good friend of mine, Dennis McSpedden, who was the president of Local 3, who was maybe three doors down from me. And he was still asleep when I woke him. And it was just tragic. And then, you know, again, being that far across, and there was a lot of discussion about San Francisco being a financial capital of the West Coast. You know, and the Bank of America, et cetera, were all there, but that place was under siege, and there was some intel that there might have been a plane headed in that direction. So it was really crazy. And then there was also an earthquake in L.A. that day. And here I am. I have a series of families with me. I'm responsible for their protection, you know, and we're out there, we're hustling. So, you know, I have my kids at home, you know, but one's in college, the other's in high school. I'm you know, running around trying to find out who's what and where. And then just the tragedy that occurred. No one knew if that was the end. So, you know, and then Local 98, you know, stood up. We had a 24 blood bank running. We ran the yard for anybody that was dropping charity type items off. We ran a tremendous convoy up of supplies, as well as the communication system was down, and a lot of the people in the area had fled the inner city, so they had their tools and everything locked out. So they depended on Philadelphia and South Jersey, and we sent a tremendous amount of people up there to help get their communication systems back online. So we had our fingerprints all over that, and we sent a lot of money, as well as, you know, I stayed close on the West Coast for the next few days till I get home with my friends from New York, because, you know, we had grown up together in this industry. So, you know, I look at it, I'll never forget that night. It's a little deeper for me. But I also, you know, segue into Mayor Street is that, you know, I'm a gigantic fan of Mayor Street. And, you know, I doubt that you'll ever see another government in the city of Philadelphia which was dominated by one person at the top like he was, because not only was he a strong mayor, but he understood the council makeup better than anyone else, because he was probably the strongest council president we ever had. And his ability to govern was second to none. And I have a lot of friends there. You know, I'm good friends with Mayor Kay. You know, I've been through all of them. You know, and I'm good friends with Governor Rendell. I mean, but Mayor Street, just a significant job. And he kept streets clean. He picked up more trash and more snow and opened up more rec centers than the record book will ever tell. You know, he was in our neighborhood. Okay, the neighborhood, you know, which was an old school white ethnic neighborhood. He was in there more than any mayor I ever know. You know, I mean, he used to actually sat on my porch many times, and, you know, he's pretty significant in Celia's early recovery. Him and Celia had developed a very personal relationship along with his wife. So, you know, it was always personal with me, and when any of these things would occur, you know, we would always call back to see what, you know, the mayor's government had. And I know, you know, that the mayor, you know, was very involved in making sure that, you know, we could get as many things as we could, from blood to money to food, the workers in New York, you know. So, you know, with that, you know, it's a pleasure to bring in Mayor Street, and, you know, and I'm, you know, glad that that he's joining us tonight, and, you know, having Sylvester afterwards, who's another, you know, you talk about a cop, that man's just a flat-out police officer.
Mayor, welcome to the broadcast. We really thank you so much for joining us. If you would, take us back to that September 11th, 2001. Do you remember where you were when everything happened?
Oh, yes, I remember. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to come on and express, you know, both some feelings and some thoughts about that day and about that time in the history of our country, the history of our Commonwealth and our city. I'd first like to express my appreciation and my condolences to the families of the almost 3,000 people that lost their lives in that tragic incident. And because there were so many heroes, there were so many people who rose to the occasion in ways which had to be in part driven by the fact that we all viewed ourselves as being under attack. And, you know, it's really interesting, because when we were all under attack, you know, people weren't worried about whether or not you were from the city or you were from the country, whether you were from rural Pennsylvania. People, we pulled together in an extraordinary way. And so to those family members who are alive today, who lost loved ones, you have our prayers, you have our condolences, and we appreciate the fact that your family members, you know, were the ones who either gave their lives as a result of their heroism, or they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. So we thank you. But on that day, I went to City Hall pretty much as I usually do, and you know, and I would have meetings that would start sometimes 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and that's the day when we had a cabinet meeting, and so I was there as I usually was, and then there were a bunch of other people, because we would start convening relatively early, and I remember that I was there, and one of the greatest managing directors in the history of this city, Joe Marks, was there. Joe was such a great managing director, I'll tell you. He just did an extraordinary job, and so we were all there, and we were in, and John Timoney was the police commissioner at the time, and Sylvester Johnson was the first deputy police commissioner. And I have to tell you, those two men will probably be the greatest police commissioner duo that I have ever seen. I mean, Timoney, of course, was from New York, and Sylvester Johnson had his roots right here, and they just did an extraordinary job. And we were all just sort of convening in City Hall, and George Burrell comes in and says, "I think you should turn on the television." Now, it was the one thing I remember is I didn't know how to turn on the television. I had a TV in my office. I had never turned it on. And so I had to talk to the people, Betty Kibler and Carolyn Martin and those folks, and say, "Come in here and tell us show us how to turn on the television." I think it was one of those situations where you needed two remotes, and we couldn't get it on. We never sat around and looked at television, and we saw the crash into the North Towers, and then we were all stunned. We didn't know what was going on, and when people ask me about it, I say, "Look, you know, if there's a snowstorm, you get 2-3 days notice, right? There's going to be a snowstorm, and you have a meeting, and everybody talks about, you know, how much snow is going to fall, how we're going to deploy the trash trucks, and so you get a chance to plan." And if, likewise, you know, for the Republican National Convention, we knew there was going to be a lot of, you know, protests, and so you start planning. But this was something different. This was different because we saw the events unfolding, but we weren't getting any whole lot of information. Police Commissioner Timoney was on the phone to New York, and you know, we were trying to figure out, is there a plane? As you know, there were these rumors about planes headed toward other cities. My understanding is that there could have been as many as 500 planes in the air. And we don't know where they're coming from, where they're going. I do remember that Police Commissioner Timoney and/or Johnson said to me, they have word, and I think it was from one of the contacts we made, that there was a plane headed for Philadelphia, and that if they couldn't make some contact with it, they were bringing it down. Now I later learned that bringing it down meant they may have to crash a plane into it, because there were all kinds of issues that were going on out there, and there was this question about whether or not they had missiles and all of that. But we were there. We were trying to figure out, well, what's likely to happen? And, you know, we have a population of about 1 million people that come charging into Center City. We have high-rise buildings when not a lot of cities have them. I guess New York, Chicago, Boston, and a half a dozen other cities have them. But we figured there's a great possibility that our city could be the target of one of these planes. And so we're trying to figure out, how do we protect people? We have to get people down out of our towers. I talked to the managing director, Marsh. He said that we made a call to the Chamber of Commerce, and we said that we had to evacuate all the big buildings, and then there were people outside, what to do about them. We had to get in touch with SEPTA so that SEPTA could run trains. We had to get people out of town. I mean, it was almost as though we were fighting an enemy, but we couldn't see the enemy. We didn't know where the enemy was going to strike. with what kind of force. And I will tell you, I was so proud of our government. You know, Joyce Wilkerson was the chief of staff, and we had a great police commissioner and managing director. I think Harold Harrison probably was still a fire commissioner at the time. I mean, we had great confidence in our people, but it was one of those situations where, you know, we knew that we could be under attack. We just didn't know when, where, or how. And so we had to start trying to protect ourselves against an enemy that we really couldn't see. But we knew if there was a real serious possibility that tragedy was going to strike us. And so it was tense. We didn't want to panic, and we didn't want to panic other people. We wanted to stay calm. We didn't need, you know, thousands of cars on the expressway lined up, you know, becoming another kind of target. And so it was a day that most of us will never forget. I mean, it challenged our capacity to prepare under circumstances that were so different from anything that any of us were ever accustomed to.
Philadelphia Mayor John Street joining us here on the John Dougherty Hour as we come to you on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, along with our gracious host, John Dougherty. I'm Joe Krause with J Doc as well, hour number two of the Labor Show on this very, very special Saturday. We'll pause for a short break. We'll pick up the conversation with Mayor Street and John Dougherty back in a moment.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by IBEW Local 98 North, UFCW 1776, and Sheet Metal Workers Local 19.
This whole nonsense about not giving workers the right to organize with so-called right to work, that's bad. Something like that comes to my desk, I'll veto it, not just because I'm a Democrat, not just because I'm pro-labor, but because I know for a fact that's not very smart.
And back here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, this is the John Dougherty Hour as we come to you on this Saturday night. We continue to remember and honor all of those first responders and all of those heroes, John, who ran toward the towers when all of this was unfolding. And it was fascinating to sit back and listen. And as Mayor Street was explaining where he was and as you were explaining where you were, it's incredible that it brings your mind back into that moment. And that moment was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I can't believe it's 20 years ago. That's amazing. And again, you know, to hear the mayor mention that there was a possibility of, you know, the intel that there could have been something, you know, under attack in Philadelphia, even sends chills to your body right now. You know, knowing as many people as family and friends that are spread all out, you know, Philadelphia on any given day, it's just amazing. Mayor, just so you know, I mean, I can't believe that was 20 years ago. But do you remember, did you wind up sending an awful lot of help up there? Did you send some of our Philadelphia first responders up the ground?
Oh, yeah, we had a whole regiment of people that went up. They went up and stayed for as long as was necessary. My recollection is that that a lot of firefighters went and police officers. And it happened over, I mean, they were there for a while. And it was one of those occasions where we all pulled together in an unprecedented kind of way. And because we all felt that we were vulnerable, we were all under attack. And, you know, we don't always get along with people from New York. We talk about New York, big, bad New York. But, you know, when New York became a symbol of our democracy, it became a symbol of this country, and they picked it out for that reason. And so we knew that when they attacked New York, when they attacked those towers, they were attacking all of us. It was all of us. And we knew that this wasn't the time to nitpick. This wasn't the time, you know, to play out our petty biases and prejudices. This was the time for us to pull together. But, you know, before the time runs out, I'd like to mention one thing, because when I was so taken aback by all of this the technology is interesting. I went into my camera and I found pictures that I took of the 9/11 Memorial and Museum on June 22nd of 2014. And I'm looking at the pictures, and I don't see anybody in the pictures that I know. No one. There's no one. No one. No one is there. No family members. No grandchildren. No children. No one is in the pictures that I found, which means that I probably went there by myself. And I had vivid recollections of going there, and I was fine. You know, you saw parts of the plane. It's an unbelievable exhibit. I don't know whether or not you have been there, but my recommendation is, if you haven't gone, go. And I was fine until the very end, when they had a lot of film footage, and they had, you know, news commentators that were. They were replaying the broadcast, and I'll tell you, I had to leave. I just had to leave. It was so emotional, and you know this was one of those days where you remember where you were. You remember a lot about it. You remember where you were. I remember where I was when I found out that John Kennedy was shot and died, and Martin Luther King, and I will never forget where I was. And what we were doing, and the gut instincts that we all felt when we looked and saw those planes hitting the World Trade Center, and then we heard about, you know, what happened at the Pentagon, and then we heard about Shanksville, and those civilians on there that took over that plane and decided that they just weren't going to just sit there and let another plane crash into another tall building. And, you know, the whole thing was just so extraordinary. And, you know, I don't know how we treat this kind of incident in our schools, but I will tell you, as soon as my children and grandchildren, and I now have great grandchildren, if you could imagine that, as soon as they're old enough, I'm taking them. They're going to see this. They're going to see this exhibit, because it comes as close as you could possibly come to understanding exactly what happened at that time and the kind of emotions that people were feeling and going through. And I think that's really good for us. I think that's good for this country. I think it's good for our citizens. And it's just a magnificent exhibit.
Mayor Street, one of the things that strikes me is how America came together. Your story about how you, when you first found out about it, in a sense, reminds me of President Bush when he was reading to the kids and you saw the Secret Service agent walk up to him and said, America's under attack. All of us were in shock, but all of us came together. How can we learn from that experience that, you know, we were hit, it hurt really bad, but we got up and united together? What can we all learn about that today?
2 minutes, gentlemen. Well, you know, 2 minutes, by the way.
It's really interesting, because frankly speaking, when I was thinking about 9/11, when I was thinking about what happened in New York, and I was thinking how we were all under attack and we all pulled together, what I thought about was the COVID-19 virus. We're all under attack. We're dying together. It's this thing is attacking us without regard to race, color, creed. It's just after us. And you would think that we would pull together, but we haven't. And people are dying. I think if the thing that I think we need to do is spend a lot more time creating a sense of community in our schools with our young people, and I think that's going to be the linchpin to pulling our country back together again.
Philadelphia Mayor John Street joining us here on the John Dougherty Hour as we come to you on this Saturday night here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT as the day completes itself and all of the memories, J-Doc, and all of the experiences that have occurred really do, as John said, take us back to that time. Mayor Street, thank you so much for coming on the John Dougherty Hour here on this Saturday night. Appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll take a short...
Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks,
Mayor.
We'll take a short break on the John Dougherty Hour as we come to you on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. This is the John Dougherty Hour. Back in a moment.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, Laborers District Council, and Steam Fitters Local 420.
We're going to try to work with Republicans in a bipartisan way to find solutions to what really is not working.
And back here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, this is the John Dougherty Hour as we come to you on this Saturday night, along with J-Doc, I'm Joe Krause, and of course our gracious host, John Dougherty. John, as we deliver what is a Saturday evening program to the Philadelphia region and to the Delaware Valley, special thanks, of course, to Mayor Street for joining us. And in kind of a fitting way, John, you get an opportunity to kind of wind the day down with two great guests joining you on your show.
Yeah, well, look, having Mayor Street here, again, I told you, I've always been a gigantic Mayor Street fan. It's well documented. And, I mean, just to listen to him, and I mentioned it earlier, you know, he ran government in Philadelphia. You know, he was a great mayor, an underestimated mayor. His skill sets as the council president, you know, were great, especially under difficult times. And 9/11 was a difficult time. And you heard him give the accolades to the tremendous senior, you know, staff that he had. And he mentioned, you know, our next, you know, visitor here, Sylvester Johnson, who's, you know, a great Philadelphian in his own right. But he mentioned all the talented people around him. You know, talented people like to work for a good leader. So it was easy for Mayor Street to surround himself with a lot of really brilliant people that have succeeded in life after his administration, too. But when you heard him talk about 9/11, you know, he's also a history buff. And anybody who knows that, you know, I mean, for him, you know, that had to be, you know, and for that to be such a significant part of his life, like you said, he can't wait to take not only his grandkids, but his great-grandkids up to New York City to visualize that. That's like the impact that it's had across the whole world. You know, and again, when I always tell our guys at Local 98, we're at the Philadelphia Building Trades, when we talk about that specific day, I said, look, close your eyes and think about a plane going into either the Liberty Complex, the Comcast Towers, the Sierra Buildings, or even City Hall or Independence Area. It's amazing. I mean, just could you imagine that? And then open your eyes up and think about, you know, all our family members running, all our first responders, we all know each other. You know, there's very few Philadelphia police officers or firefighters that we haven't either known by name or seen someplace. You know, and I know everybody in the Philadelphia Building Trades would be running to them buildings to help without, you know, any care for any future health issues. You know, so it's just amazing that we live in this world. I'm glad that we had a chance. And, again, you heard me talk about Mayor Street, and, you know, he mentioned John Timothy, but the guy that I always thought was Sylvester Johnson. And the greatest compliment I can pay him, as a police commissioner, he was always accessible. And I ran a civic association in a neighborhood that was predominantly white, okay? And thank God we didn't have the severity of crimes that some other neighborhoods had, but the quality of life crime and the occasional, you know, terrible crime was way more than enough. And people would, you know, cry and scream and shout. And again, I ran the Civic Association for maybe 20 years. The individual who had the biggest impact and probably was the one that was talked about the most. And I've had everybody at these meetings. You know, I've had the Rendells and Cohens and Timonies and all them. But as Commissioner Sylvester Johnson showed up at the Edward O'Malley Boys Club to talk about crime, his vision for fixing it, and the changing neighborhoods, and, you know, he was way ahead of his time, okay? And the good part was he was articulate on his issues, but he was just average Joe when he was talking to the people of Philadelphia. And that's why, you know, there's not a cop around that doesn't, you know, still admire him and respect him and tell you that, you know, under his leadership, people wanted to be police officers, people wanted to be in the community. And again, it's a difficult time to critique anybody, you know, in today's world with all the things that we have going, not only the pandemic, but the social injustice. But I'm telling you, Commissioner Johnson was way ahead of his time, and he talked about these issues way before they became issues, you know, on trying to communicate and how to get together. And I'm really interested in hearing one thing, because Mayor Street said that, you know, Commissioner Johnson, and I mean, he was first at the time to Commissioner Timoney, that they had information that there was a possibility that there might have been a plane headed for Philadelphia. I definitely want to know about that. So it's a pleasure to bring in Commissioner Johnson. He's still a dear friend. You know, he did a great job. And, you know, I mean, just a stone loyal Philadelphia cop.
Commissioner Johnson, welcome to the broadcast.
All right, thank you very much, and I appreciate everything that John Dougherty has said about me. But I also have the same opinion about him, because anything we've ever needed from, you know, his counsel or from his union, he always gave without question. You would just call him up and said, "We need," and he just says, "Tell me what you need when you want me to give it to you, and you have it." Even to the point that he would call me up and give me football tickets sometimes, but that was also a great thing. I would go to his box, so. I mean, there was a lot of things that I know he did to help me, but in my opinion, I had the opportunity to work for the best mayor of the city of Philadelphia in the history of Philadelphia, too, who never really interfered with me. He always supported me. I mean, there was times that we may have disagreements inside the office, but never in public. And, you know, with his leadership, there was two main things that when we took over office that the community was concerned about. Two main things that every community meeting I went to, they talked about these two issues the most. That was abandoned vehicles and street corner drug sales. And Mayor Street took care of both. So, again, it was an honor for me to work for Mayor Street. I was appointed by him. I think very highly of Commissioner Timoney, because he taught me a lot. And he gave me the opportunity to learn a lot of things from him. So, again, between John Dougherty, Commissioner Timoney, and Mayor Street, they will always be my favorite people, and I will always continue to be, you know, whatever they need me to do at any time, I'm still there for them. I still come to Philadelphia, and I still go to the neighborhoods. I go to the school. I still try to go to the prison because, you know, Philadelphia, even though I live in Delaware now, is still my home. So I'm concerned about what's happening up there, and I always will be.
And Commissioner, take us back to that day, that September morning. Do you remember where you were? And we also want to get to the question that John Dougherty asked. And actually, the mayor had brought that up. Mayor Street brought that up in regards to Philadelphia being under attack. But before you answer that question, tell us where you were and your immediate impressions.
Okay, I was in my office at 8th and Race. And I was looking at TV, and the first time it came about that there was a plane that ran into, you know, World Trade Center in New York. And I just thought that it was an accident. A plane just happened to fly low and ran into the building. And then as I'm standing there looking at TV, you can actually see the second plane going to the second building. And at that point, we realized that there was a terrorist attack going on. And we never experienced anything like that. We experienced domestic terrorism, but never international terrorism. I had people from our intelligence unit, you know, I talked to, you know, Commissioner Timoney. He had people in New York that he was still close to because he was commissioner in New York at one time or a deputy in New York. We contacted the mayor's office to inform him of the things that were going on. We immediately had a meeting. And with that meeting, we decided to turn, you know, how can we handle this? Because we never had that type of thing where we have to have, if it hits Philadelphia, what would we do and how will we do it? How can we have immediate response? If something happened in Center City, immediate response, something happened anywhere in that area. So we called our command staff and we started strategizing. The other thing what we had to do, or what we did do, with Mayor Street's permission, we had some of our people from our terrorist task force decided that they wanted to go to New York. They were ordered to go to New York. They volunteered to go to New York. That Chief Inspector Tamparelli and some of his other people. We couldn't do that without the permission of Commissioner Timney, and quite nasty without the permission of the mayor. And as soon as we mentioned it to the mayor, he says, do it. Whatever y'all have to do, take whoever you have to take up there, and you can go immediately. So, again, we also realized that things have started happening in the area. We contacted the FBI. We had a good communication with them. We even started contacting some of the mosques to try to get information. So we just started strategizing, putting things in place. How would handle if this thing happened in Center City? How could something happen at 17th and say Market Street, and within 20 minutes can we have X amount of police officers there? We had to put all these things in place, and we had to do it right away. So with the idea that these planes may possibly come to Philadelphia, we know they were going to other areas, and we were just on the phone. At least Chief Inspector Tamara was on the phone with his counterparts in New York. And all the information I got, I gave to Commissioner Timney, and we gave to the mayor. And I don't recall exactly what happened, but I believe we had a meeting with the mayor and City Hall with his cabinet members to start strategizing how can we handle this. And because we had to handle it, and it was something completely new to us.
Commissioner, you know, and we're gonna go to break in about a minute and a half, picking up on John Dougherty's inquiry about you were in communication with the federal government, and the mayor brought it up about an aircraft headed towards Philadelphia that refused to identify itself and was minutes from being blown out of the sky. Talk about that, because we were this close from Philadelphia being under attack.
Right. Well, we got that information, and we were in constant communication with the FBI. It was a monitor. And it says, again, the leadership of Mayor Street, we just tried to prepare for it. And we had set up something where we called some of the people up at the police academy to get a immediate response team from our tactical people, from our terrorist people, from everybody. And we started putting these things in place and praying that it wasn't true. But, you know, it turned out not to be true that they didn't hit Philadelphia, but at the same time, they came very close to Philadelphia in the Pennsylvania area. And it just had to be constant communication, constant intelligence, constant things that sharing this information. And going with the leadership of the mayor and Commissioner Kennedy, we just had to do whatever we had to do. So, and I said, again, the federal government were very, very helpful to us. They held nothing back. And you know, with there's one thing that you know that I realized with at 9/11, the one thing that I think it did, at least in Philadelphia, it put everybody together. It didn't make any difference what nationality was. It didn't make any difference what color you was. Everybody combined at that moment. That I wish we could have combined with some of the, you know, domestic terrorism that we would have. But it says everybody became Americans at that point. So I think that's one of the most positive things that happened that day.
Longtime Philadelphia Police Commissioner Sylvester Johnson, who served on the police department for 43 years, including 6 years as the city's 13th police commissioner. That tenure was from January 4th of 2002 through January 7th of 2008. Joining us here on the John Dougherty Hour, we'll take a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation. Back in a moment.
Tonight's edition of The Labor Show is sponsored in part by Ironworkers Local 401, Boilermakers Local 13, Plumbers Local 690, and IBEW Local 98. Choose a Local 98 contractor.
And back here on the John Dougherty Hour as we come to you on this Saturday night here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. John, I want to come right back to you. Hearing the answer from Sylvester Johnson to your question, you know, it was just, or it just had to be just so overwhelming for so many people who were in key positions who had to block everything out and had to be willing and be ready to react.
Well, if you take a look at what the commissioner said, you know, I mean, he was in constant communication with not only, you know, the FBI and the federal government, you know, but anybody and everyone that related to law enforcement, as well as the clergy, you know, and he mentioned the mosque and anything that where he might be able to pick up any information, as well as ask for some additional prayers, because that was a scary moment, you know. And again, when you take a look at what we have here, people don't really appreciate, and we have some beautiful museums. We have some beautiful centers, you know, the Kenmore Center, things like that. But we still have Independence Hall, the Liberty Bell, and City Hall in its own right is a beautiful piece. You know, and there seemed to be some symbolic, you know, message here. So, you know, if you're coming to Philadelphia, you were going to come right to the heart of where we all, especially during that time frame. You know, if I was in Philadelphia instead of San Francisco that day, I would have been someplace in town. You know, that's where I work and play, you know. And, again, you know, the good part about Commissioner Johnson, you heard him mention Street and his initiatives. You know, I was at the Redevelopment Authority, so I had an opportunity to help, you know, Mayor Street with the initial cleanup and safe streets and things like that. You know, from an administrative standpoint, we did bonds and freed up money so that he could go get it. But, I mean, the day-to-day things, and the big things are taking the drugs, you know, off the corner. And today it's the guns, you know, and Mayor Street and Commissioner Johnson did that. And again, that's what, you know, I don't say that lightly, and I'm not here just, you know, kissing his butt on a radio show because he came on, but at the Penn-Sport Civic Association, I'll never forget, you know, and the average age is 60 years old and it's white, you know, and here comes in the African-American police commissioner, who not only came in and delivered the normal presentation, but hung around and had a cup of coffee and a donut, and people felt comfortable. And they felt comfortable not just because of his presentation, but they were seeing results. They were saying, look, it doesn't matter what neighborhood you're in, there's drugs and guns in every neighborhood in the city, just in different levels of quantity. Okay? And that's what he did. And, you know, it's a shame. You know, I'm glad to see him enjoying retirement. You know, and I'm glad that he still pops back and forth, and he's always invited to anything that we have at the Philadelphia Building Trades because he's always been a fan of the union movement, you know. But again, you know, just hearing about that day, and I would imagine also, Kamish, was there a special emphasis on trying to keep an eye on the Liberty Bell and places like that night? Was there any additional?
That's one of the first things we did is get a group of police officers. I mean, we canceled days, we extended tours, and the Liberty Bell, all the major things that in Philadelphia, we had covered, all of them, in addition to the mosque. But especially, you know, the things that were historic, the things with Liberty Bell, even Bessie Ross House, all those things in Center City and other places like that, we had to put details up there on a 24-hour basis. I mean, we put them up there and had a detail outside and surround them, call every district to make sure those, like some of the places up in the Northeast, we had to bring extra policemen in to those type of things. And probably within 1 or 2 days, we had set up a thing in place where we can actually have, based on how New York did it, actually have probably 60, 70 police officers in one location within 22 minutes. They were contacted. There were officers in every single district who were assigned and designated that Once the call came out, you would come to this location, lice and sirens, as fast as you possibly can. And we wanted to make sure we just had police officers there. We made sure that we had the supervisors there, the tactical people there, our SWAT teams there, all the people who need our bomb squads and people, you know, for that. We had meeting with the business area to let them know that if there was anything inside their building, how would you handle, say, hypothetically, if there was a bomb scare there? Do you evacuate the buildings? What we decided to do is not to evacuate the building right away, but that was left up to the people who were in charge of there. If there was no device found, if there was anything found that was suspicious, then the whole building had to leave. But we had to put all those things in place right away. And thanks to Mayor Street, one of the things, since we didn't have any international terrorism, especially a deputy commissioner, I asked him permission to make Tamborelli, who had all kinds of experience, to be a deputy commissioner assigned strictly to international terrorism. And again, without doubt, without hesitation, he said, that's the guy you want. As of today, he is a deputy commissioner. And he just moved forward with that. And since he's one of the people that went up to New York, we have a guy who is a chief inspector now, Warner, who also went up to New York along with all the other people. And I give them credit again. They all volunteered to go. They all volunteered to go and stayed up there and stayed in constant communication with New York and helped out as much as they possibly could.
Well, Commissioner Johnson, obviously, we want to thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast, but also for the leadership that you and Mayor Street and John Timoney and the rest of our leaders showed during that time. We were all in the dark, and it was the leadership of our city that got us through here in Philadelphia. And, of course, the job you did in the years after that, making sure that we were ready if it ever happened again. So we want to thank you so much for joining us on this very emotional night. Great job.
I appreciate you giving the opportunity to come here. And thank you very much, John Dockery, Mayor Street. And thanks for letting me allow to say, you know, the things that I did say. Thank you.
And that's going to do it for this edition of the John Dockery Hour as we come to you on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. John, before we say goodbye and fade away into a moment of silence to end the John Dockery Hour, I'll give you the last 60 seconds of the broadcast, sir.
Well, when you think about 9/11, the visual is all of the people running away, covered in smut, covered in concrete, you know, running to try to save themselves. Okay? I think, you know, even though, you know, we say it more than, you know, than you would think, we still have never, ever, ever can we thank the people who ran toward them buildings. And we always say the first responders, but there were specific firehouses a block and a half away that lost half the people that ran into that building to save people out. You know, and again, it's amazing. And, you know, I know now, like having, you know, Celia in a wheelchair, I have no idea how the people in wheelchairs were the people who, older people, or the people with disabilities could even have a chance of surviving something like that without the heroic efforts of the first responders, you know, the police officers, the firefighters, and all the other people that ran toward them buildings that day. So, you know, as we enter into the moment of silence, I just think that, you know, having lived through it and having, you know, witnessed, you know, a lot of things along that lines, but not exactly at that level, like the pandemic and the social injustice and all the things, the first responders just, they don't get paid enough, two, they don't get enough acknowledgement, and three, they're the first people we criticize if something doesn't work. So I just want to thank you, pray for you tonight, and let you know that you are appreciated, and thank God for you.
We end our show now, the Labor Show, the John Dockery Hour, with a moment of silence. Good night, everyone.